Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
We want to ask the question, who is ISIS? Who are these rebels? Who are these terrorists that are coming down in the land of the Bible? I mean, where the Garden of Eden, where Nineveh, the city of Nineveh, is and was. And what is, who is ISIS? And as you can see right here, you see where they're coming down from Syria all the way down into Iraq, into the northern borders, and they're working towards coming down towards Baghdad. Why folks are sitting silently. These guys are so ruthless and so bad that even Al-Qaeda wrote a message just letting them know that we're not, that's not us. Mm-hmm. It's like, really? I mean, is there a different kind of evilness? And that's right. Just understand the mindset that one thinks they're righteous. Maybe both thinks they're righteous in the context of their belief. And it's like, my goodness. And so who is ISIS? We want to begin to ask that question because when you see the news, we want you to know what's really going on in the context of this, because what you have is the Sunnis, who are Islamic, and the Shiites, who are Islamic, coming against each other and in the process devouring Christians and Jews in that. And it's just horrific. So first, let's watch this in the context of this jihadist army. We're going to explain who is ISIS, and we'll be right back.
Welcome back to Jerusalem Dateline. I'm George Thomas. We're taking a pause from Chris's reporting in Iraq to explore some of the deeper questions surrounding this crisis. For example, who is this radical group ISIS, and what does it hope to accomplish? Who are the forces behind them, and how will this affect U.S. policy in the Middle East as well as the region's Christians? Joining me here on set is CBN senior editor John Waghi. From Washington, D.C., our terrorism analyst Eric Stackelbeck, and in Jerusalem is Middle East correspondent Julie Stahl. Eric, let me begin with you. Who is ISIS, and what are their goals?
Well, ISIS, George, stands for the Islamic State of Iraq and Syria. Very interesting how this has all played out. They started out back in 2003 as Al-Qaeda in Iraq. They were Al-Qaeda's Iraq branch, George, and basically over the years it morphed. This group was pretty much dead around 2007 with the surge in Iraq of U.S. troops. And then in around 2010, they started to rear their head in Iraq again. They became stronger and stronger. They really gained battlefield experience in a major way next door to Iraq in Syria, George. Long story short, last year, they had become so strong, they broke away from Al-Qaeda, rebranded themselves ISIS, the Islamic State of Iraq and Syria. Al-Qaeda then disowned them, said, hey, these guys are too violent and too brutal and extreme, even for us. And what they've done, George, is they've been able to conquer large territory in Syria, in Iraq, in the heart of the Middle East. This is really unprecedented for a terrorist group. They're more like a terrorist army. Mm-hmm. To conquer such territory, really unprecedented. And they are known, George, for their savagery, their vicious mass beheadings, crucifixions, burning churches to the ground with worshipers inside. I talked to an Israeli security source who told me, hey, Eric, these guys are psychopathic killers. If they weren't in the battlefield in the Middle East, they'd be on death row here in America or someplace else for killing a family just for the fun of it. Mm-hmm. That's the mentality you're dealing with right now.
John, to you, is there a larger conflict at work here?
Well, yes, George, there's a conflict on top of a conflict on top of a conflict. You have the Sunni versus Shiite battle that's going on in Iran between the Syrian forces of ISIS and others. And then you have nations involved, Saudi Arabia, Iran, they're at cross purposes. And so you have that going on. Turkey wants a role in all of this because they're about to expand their empire if they get any shot at it. And then on top of that, you have an even larger war, which is Sunni and Shiite versus the whole non-Muslim world. And that's where the United States comes in. And George, this is one of the things that's most disturbing, is that you have the Senate Majority Leader, Harry Reid, saying this is an Iraqi problem. This is just a problem that they can work out amongst themselves. And the problem is that they are at war with us, have been at war with us since at least 2001. And this is something we're not going to escape from. U.S. interests are at stake in the heart of this whole battle.
To you, Julie Stahl, in Jerusalem, John Kerry says, the U.S. Earlier this week, he said the U.S. is open to working with Iran to help Iraq. What does that mean for Israel?
You know, the Israeli officials are pretty much staying quiet on the whole issue of ISIS and the possibility that Iran and the U.S. might team up to fight ISIS in some kind of way or talk about being together. But we could imagine that they would not be happy at all about that. You know, George, Netanyahu was very upset in the fall that the U.S. and the other nations were willing to talk to Iran to try to convince them about their nuclear program. And even though Yuval Steinitz, our Minister of National Security, he said that, you know, the U.S. has given him assurances that this would not affect the nuclear talks. I can't imagine how it wouldn't affect the nuclear talks if the U.S. would be talking to Iran, and therefore it would not play out good for Israel.
Eric, to you in Washington, D.C., you know, it's interesting because back in 2003, the United States had high hopes that Iraq would turn into a stable democracy in the Middle East. George Bush said that what was going on in Iraq, our involvement in Iraq, would be a blueprint that the winds of democracy would flow not just from Iraq, but across the large swath of the Middle East. What went wrong?
Well, George, I think, number one, there is absolutely no history at all whatsoever of any form of democracy in the Middle East. There has never been a democracy in the Middle East other than Israel. Surprise, surprise. Other than that, no history of any form of democratic government in that entire region, George. There's also the Islam factor, where, look, in Islamic countries, you traditionally do not have democracy. Many people think that Islam and democracy are not compatible. So I think that's the major issue here. The people of the Middle East, the Muslim peoples of the Middle East, have to show that they want democracy, genuine democracy. Yes, we saw Iraqis at the polls. Everyone remembers the purple fingers they held up, George, but that has not been sustained. And now this group, ISIS, in some of the Sunni areas of Iraq, have been treated as liberators. Mm-hmm. And they're an extremely anti-democratic force, to say the least. We saw in Egypt the Muslim Brotherhood elected. We've seen other Islamist parties elected in the Middle East, George. Yes, the Muslim Brotherhood was pushed out of power, which is a promising sign. The promise of that, George, is, okay, people are electing these Islamist governments, supporting these Islamist governments, but once these radical Islamists get in power, George, mm-hmm. their rule is a complete disaster, and the people chafe under this radical Islamic law and this Sharia law and this Islamic rule, and many times they rise up. That's what we've seen in the Arab Spring. We've seen it in Iran, but this has not, any kind of solid democratic movement has not been sustained in the region, and I don't see it being sustained anytime soon.
And the folks that are watching this, John, in the Middle East are serious Christians who are under incredible pressure. Many have fled that country. Iraqi Christians who fled to Syria, northern Iraq, to escape persecution are now under fire. Where can they go? Are they going to the Kurdish region of the north of Iraq, or are they trying to come here to the United States?
All of the above, George. They really are in a tight, tight situation. It's a tragedy. Eric related earlier how bad it is on the ground for Syrian and Iraqi Christians. And the problem is if they try to go to Europe, they have to go through a middleman. It can cost up to $10,000 a person. Where are Iraqi and Syrian Christians going to get that kind of money? Mm-hmm. On top of that, you've got the ISIS group is threatening to attack and kill English teachers. That's how bad the war is against the entire West. And so these people have a really difficult hurdle, and they know that if they're leaving, they're probably leaving permanently, at least for a long time.
Julie, to you, final few seconds on the broadcast. I wanted to take a moment to talk about the crisis that's affecting Israel right now. The IDF is scouring the West Bank in search of three Israeli teens. One is an American citizen believed kidnapped by Hamas. Tell us quickly what's happening.
That's right, George. Israel has taken this opportunity not only to look for the teens and search for the teens. They've doubled their manpower in Judea and Samaria, the West Bank, to search for these teens. They are basically going building to building in certain areas. They've searched hundreds, like, I think.
It's amazing. They're continuing the search for these teens that we were talking about earlier. But understanding who ISIS is, you know, that you're looking at this radical offshoot of Al-Qaeda that they would be having life sentences or, you know, just this, they're just evil. But look at the context of this, that they are beheading and crucifying Christians.
Yeah.
They're just all, and they're just anybody with any authority they're killing. They killed, I believe, the police chief in one of the cities there and beheaded him and then posted the picture up on, like, Twitter or something of that nature. And it's like, this is how evil. By the way, if you want to know what Satan thinks about you, if you want to partner up with Satan, you think Satan's your friend, and you think, well, I'm just playing with darkness. Mm-hmm. This is darkness. This is what it thinks of the human race. This is what he thinks of you being made in the image and the likeness of God. That he would rather kill you. He would rather destroy you. There is no evil that you can imagine to the depths of how evil he really is. And you're seeing it. You're just seeing this and can imagine if that's how evil he is right now with restraint because of God and restraint because of God's spirit. Imagine if you choose to partner with him for eternity and you go to hell, what hell would be like if that was your choice. And I want to encourage you as we go to this break, make that choice today. So you know what? Now that I see evil and see Lucifer, what he really is, I can now see Christ for who he really is. And I want to make Jesus Christ the Lord of my life. Today's the day. Go to meetmyfather.org. We're going to talk more about this after this break. But this majority business, you know, majority, crowd. Understand they're irrelevant and they will never do anything. You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN-TV and the Data Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFNTV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share it with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFNTV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. We'll be right back.